This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of But Why? But this is something a bit different. It's a condensed version. It's our favourite conversations about tricky subjects, revisited and reduced into bite-sized chunks. Hello, and welcome to another episode of But Why? The podcast that's all about digging into big questions and tricky topics via honest conversations. This week, we're going to be looking at expectations, which is actually a really fascinating subject. We were meant to record this episode last week, but I had a technical error in that I had my microphone the wrong way around, which means I've been mulling the subject for some time, and I'm really looking forward to getting into it. Anyway, a bit about my guest. Fauna Bell is an award-winning journalist and author. She is the former executive editor and global lifestyle head of Huffington Post. She won Stylist Rising Star Award in 2019, Reds Magazine Big Book Award in 2019, and she's published three works of non-fiction, and most recently her first work of fiction, which I was lucky enough to read an advanced copy of and absolutely love. I actually still think about the characters a bit. I feel like they're my mates, so that's a compliment to your writing, and that is called Case of Emergency, and we'll be talking about it a bit today. Without further ado, let's get cracking. As a kind of starter, would you say that you have high expectations? Have you always, if so, have you always had it? Is it something that you have to work on?
I think that my expectations have changed a lot over the years, and the reason why I say that is because I think that when I was younger, I think a lot of the expectations that I had for myself, I don't think came necessarily directly from me. I think that they were, as they are for a lot of people, I think that they were shaped a lot by, you know, societal conditioning and pressure. And, you know, just even things that we consume, like TV and film and so on. And, you know, expectations that your parents have of you and so on. I think that nowadays, and definitely in the last few years, that has changed. I mean, I would love to say that I'm free from societal expectations, but I live in society, so I don't really think that's a realistic prospect. But I definitely know that the expectations that I currently have of myself are mostly from myself and are based on the things that I know I want and will make me happy. And I'm talking about every aspect of life, from my career to dating to, you know, even the kind of older woman that I want to be. And I would say that, you know, I'm very aware that when, you know, I talk about things like this, it sort of sounds oversimplistic, like, oh, you know, yeah, I can do that too. That's really easy. But it is the result of a lot of hard work. It is the result of making a ton of mistakes. You know, the end result is that whatever expectations I have of my life now will change in about 5 or 10 years.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because when I think of expectation, I kind of was raised to be ambitious and to aim for quite high things all the time. And you know, they were inherited ideas, and in some ways they're useful because they've given me a lot of motivation to you know, shape particularly the career that I've got. But yeah, there's a very important thing about checking in about whose expectations they are, because you sometimes just can't, you don't even realise that they're inherited or that they're societal or they're inherited from Instagram, maybe. I think the first thing that pops into my head is around parenting, but like this expectation of what parenting should look like and what kids' parties should look like. And it's these are all imagined things, aren't they? That it's like trying to remember but what you want somewhere amongst it.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, I've made a, when I say decision, it's not a final decision. It's just kind of currently where I am. But, you know, for example, I would say around love life. I mean, you know this, you know, my sort of like story around this. But, you know, my husband Rob died in 2015. And I think that that was a real, defining point of between, you know, having spent most of my life working towards meeting someone and getting married, and then getting married, and then that relationship just being wonderful but also so difficult. Mm-hmm. And then I think after he died, just thinking, okay, so well, what happens now? You know, what do those expectations now look like for me? Mm. Because he died when I was 34. There is just no real template for what happens when you are widowed at that age. You know, there just isn't. And you know, for example, I think it was people sort of asked me to like read certain books or whatever, but they were all by people who had lost their partners much older than me. Mm-hmm. And that has been a real journey in terms of the expectations, because really the expectations don't really apply to you. Because what's, you know, how deeply inappropriate would it be for someone to say in the, you know, in the immediate aftermath that I should get remarried? Mm-hmm. But then I think after, you know, sort of a few years pass, I have been thinking, hang on, not around getting remarried, but just like, okay, so what does that part of my life look like? Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, obviously this is against the backdrop of the pandemic, so all of us have some horrendous catharsis that has come out from that period. But I think that I just realized that, because I wasn't, around that time, I wasn't really, you know, enjoying dating, I would say leading up to the pandemic. I think I felt that I should be meeting people and it should be leading to something serious. But at the same time, I didn't know what I wanted and I didn't feel like I wanted that and so on. And I think like during the pandemic, I just had this really clarifying moment where I know that this sounds so, this might irritate a few people, but I just realized I didn't want any of that. I don't want to get remarried. I don't want to date because it might turn into something serious. It doesn't mean that the door is closed on it at all.
The older I get, the more I realize that people don't really owe you anything. That's a, yeah. And I actually, on the idea of expectation, I've definitely also been guilty of like Christmas, birthdays, holidays, thinking that they're going to be something and then going into disappointment. And then as I get older, what I've got better is understanding what makes those things good for me. You know, so putting in time on my own, being able to exercise, and therefore you're not just hoping for the best that things are going to work out. I'm better at putting the things in place to get there, I think.
Yeah, I guess there's a real art form to how you emotionally process and deal with things around your expectations when things just don't work out the way that you want them to. And I think, for example, Christmas is such a classic one where it's taken a lot of trial and error, but I just know that for me, it is not going to be the most wonderful time of the year. So what I just kind of go into it, it with the expectation of is I just want to spend time with my family. I want to have some nice food. And that's all it needs to be. It doesn't need to be the best time of year, because I don't think you can script moments like that. You can't script your greatest hits, you know. Very often those things happen when, I don't know, you're on your... you're having a family dinner while on holiday and you're in some place that turned out to be spectacular and none of you have ever been there before. Mm-hmm. And those are the things I'm far more likely to remember rather than Christmas and what do we give each other, which I never remember what we give each other. And it's just one of those things that I feel a lot more sane around letting that go. Mm-hmm. But there are other members of my family who shall not be named who still want to have the best time in the world. And I see them go through that catharsis of when it isn't the best time in the world, you know, it's just a time and that's okay. I think that my goal now for when I get older and older is that I just want to be as healthy as possible, as strong as possible. And I want to do and pursue behaviors that allow me to be the best possible version of my older self. That for sure is an expectation I have of, you know, for example, when I'm sort of like, you know, in 20 years time or whatever. And I think that's a good expectation to have, because it's not connected to things that it, you know, I used to have, for example, around my body, which was always like, oh, I need to be as slim as possible. It's more like, well, okay, am I pursuing things that are going to give me good bone density? If I fall ill, am I going to be able to recover from it quicker? And that I think is a good expectation to have, because I think it allows me to just be a lot more kind and respectful towards my older self than I possibly would have been. Mm-hmm. And actually, I don't even think 5-10 years ago, I was even thinking of what my future would look like in about 10-20 years, insofar as I'm thinking about how strong I am and how healthy my body might be.
Well, yeah, I mean, if that's your kind of life goal, that isn't attached to other people, it isn't attached to any idea of wealth or milestones. I definitely share that. That is a real thing that's happened in my 40s. My one aim is to keep my body as well as it, my body and my mind, I connect the two, as well as they possibly can do, and make decisions that that ladder up to that. And that if that's your kind of guiding light on everything, you're right, it's what time you leave the party, it's what you work you pick up, etc. and it is purely, it might sound selfish, but it's just about prioritizing yourself.
It's not just about being honest with yourself. You then have to action the things that come out of that conversation, which can be incredibly hard when you realize what those things need to be.
Yeah, and also I think you can get stuck in your own thought patterns, which become so familiar that you don't even realise that it's a particular thought. And you're like, oh, wow, there is actually a completely different way of looking at that. Yeah, and that shifts everything.
Yeah.
So that's my big takeaway from this. But thank you so much for your time. Second time around, it's been amazing.
Thank you.